So last week, as I said, to begin our Advent journey, right, we talked about hope. This week, it's about peace and the sacred season of preparation, preparing ourselves for peace. Without hope, there can be no peace within, or peace without. No hope, no peace. As Albert Camus once wrote, how hard it must be to live only with what one knows and what one remembers, and deprived of what one hopes. There is no peace without hope. Back in August, we encountered a verse from Ephesians set in the context of a longer description of the armor, the so-called armor of God, as shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. This morning, we find these verses, as Amy just read for us, out of the mouth of Zechariah, the priest and father of John, who will become known as John the Baptizer, prophesying about the role his newborn son will play in preparing the way for Jesus and his way, preparing the way for the way. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet again into the way of peace. But put on your feet whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace in your tender mercy, O God. Guide our feet into the way of peace, peace within, peace without. You may know that for the previous 9 months and change in this story, Zechariah had been mute, unable to speak. Earlier in the first chapter of Luke, the angel Gabriel appears to him, and Zechariah is terrified, overwhelmed with fear. Gabriel tries to calm his fear and then pronounces that his wife Elizabeth will become pregnant and bear a son to be named John. An answer to his prayer for sure, but an entirely unexpected answer, because Elizabeth, like Sarah and so many other biblical women before her, is barren and of advanced age. Zechariah is skeptical at this news and wants some proof. How will I know this is so, he asks, for I am an old man and my wife is getting up in years. And because he doesn't believe this good news, his ability to share that good news is taken away. He's rendered mute until John is born, 9 months and change. And then his voice, now filled with the Spirit, erupts in praise and hope, concluding with those verses, which I repeat again, both because they are pure poetry and because they speak as much as anything to the promise and preparation of Advent. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us. And some ancient authorities say here, has broken already upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The dawn of the light in this context echoes the psalmist and the prophet Isaiah, alluding to a promised liberation of those who are imprisoned, freed from the darkness of captivity, those imprisoned in one form or another. Hope that leads to peace. Again, no hope, no peace. In our other reading from Luke's gospel, the newborn John, son of Zechariah, is all grown up, doing the work of preparation to which he was called and to which we are all called, preaching a baptism of repentance and forgiveness of sin, or release from sin is probably a better translation of the Greek word aphesis that's used here. Sin itself understood as a form of captivity. So release from anything that holds us captive, that separates and isolates us individually and collectively from the God of love and the divine love that we see in each other and in ourselves, that exists in each other and in ourselves. We don't always see it, right? and with it the invitation to turn back. That's repentance, to turn back to God and the God in each other and the God in ourselves, to turn back to love and love for each other and for ourselves. John the Baptizer anticipates Jesus who will come after him and further echoes the prophets who went before him. Quoted from the prophet Isaiah, we get these illustrious words, this vision, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." That is a figurative but profoundly prophetic vision of what justice looks like, of the justice that, like hope, must also precede peace. There can be no peace without justice. No justice, no peace. No hope, no peace. And here we cannot in the text lose sight of the social, political, and religious context in which John is operating. The author of Luke's gospel won't let us. In fact, Luke's gospel is the only gospel that places this emphasis. Chapter 3 begins, as we heard, in the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod was ruler of Galilee and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. And it goes on. The word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Now that's the kind of list, right, we might be inclined to just skip over, or where our eyes tend to gloss over with all the names when we're reading, because we don't know who these people are. But the author of Luke includes it for a reason, as part of his overall literary strategy. Make no mistake, John is preaching his good news under the oppressive imperial thumb of Roman military occupation. We cannot lose sight of the context in which John is operating. Empire. And so what John is doing, again, anticipating Jesus in more ways than one, is decidedly, decidedly political. Ultimately challenging empire and threatening, as we will soon find out, the political and religious status quo. Life as it is, challenged by a vision of life as it can yet be, as we talked about last week. And so too, the author of Luke's gospel means for us to notice and to understand, with this long litany of both political and religious, regional and national authorities of the day, that the word of God does not come to Tiberius. It does not come to Pontius Pilate. It does not come to Herod. It does not come to Annas or Caiaphas in all their military-backed power, but to John, son of Zechariah. And it's worth noting here that the Greek phrase we find in Luke translated, "the word of God came to John," is identical to the phrase used in the Septuagint, the ancient Greek translation of the Hebrew scriptures in the book of Jeremiah, or the prophet Jeremiah, to whom the word of God came. John is the new Jeremiah. Luke's gospel reminds us where real power and authority reside. John the Baptizer continues in this long line of prophets preparing the way for new life and true lasting peace, shalom in the Hebrew. And the verse in Luke goes on and says, "The word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Not in the halls of power, to be perfectly clear. Luke is being perfectly clear, but in the wilderness. The wilderness of all places. But then, when you think about it, from where else can the gospel come? Where else can the good news of hope and the promise of liberation and justice and peace take root and grow out of and take shape in, but the wilderness of our lives and the wilderness in the world we share. The Advent journey reminds us that there is hope. There is always hope, and that there will be liberation from all that holds us captive or threatens to hold us captive. There will be justice that fills every valley and makes low every mountain and hill, as Isaiah prophesies, that makes straight all that is crooked and makes smooth all that is rough. And where there is hope and where there is justice, there can be peace if we are prepared for it, if we prepare for it. In the world, even in the dark shadows of empire, in our hearts and in our lives, even in what feels like wilderness. Again, the dawn from on high will break upon us, is breaking upon us, to give light to those of us who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. So with that promise and toward that vision, friends, may we be hope bearers, justice seekers, and peacemakers, all of us preparing the way in the wilderness like John the Baptizer. May we put on our feet whatever will make us ready to proclaim the gospel of peace, and may God, in God's tender mercy, guide our feet into the way of peace. Peace within and peace without. May it be so.